That's awesome. You see, He doesn't need for us to make it known that He's Lord. He is. And every knee will bow. Every tongue is going to confess. His power and lordship is real. His authority is what it is. And believers and unbelievers are going to bow. We're all going to bow to Christ and to His lordship. But nonetheless, in our relationship, God has determined and has chosen that submission both to one another and to Himself is voluntary. It's a decision in our heart that in light of and in the fear of Christ, we make a decision to put ourselves, submit ourselves, line ourselves under the authority of Christ ultimately in the fear of Christ and in those authority in which He has established. Number two, or secondly, under verse 21 there is, it's a mutual act of humility. And you can write this verse down, I'll read it for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 8 says, if you see oppression of the poor and denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight, for one official watches over another official and there are higher officials over them. What's it saying? Authority-wise, there's lines of authority and everybody's under authority. And if you get to the highest authority, if you get to King Nebuchadnezzar, or if you get to the greatest and most powerful king that ever lived on planet Earth, he's still under authority. He's under God's authority. All are under authority. And that's the point that's being made. Authority is the acknowledgement, an act. It is a mutual act of humility, whether it's government, divine institution, church institution, family institution, there is a submission and acknowledgement of that authority. And God has established that. It's biblical. If it rubs you the wrong way, I'm telling you, the reason that it does is because we've all fallen in sin. And we have rebelled against our Creator. And in our hearts, we're basically self-focused, prideful, and self-determined in the things that we choose to do. And we need to learn the scriptural realities of submission. It's a biblical concept. An acknowledgement of authority, of human authority that God has established, is an acknowledgement of God's authority. If that rubs you the wrong way, it's because you have an old sin nature. It's because we fell in Adam. It's because we're in rebellion against God. We have been from the beginning, and we always will be until Christ returns, and in the resurrection we're given new bodies and delivered from this body of sin and death. You will have the tendency to rebel against God-established authority. It's just the nature of sin and the nature of our fallen world. But submission is mutual humility toward one another, understanding lines of authority as it's been established by God and putting yourself under it. I cannot express to you how important this concept of biblical truth is for today. I simply cannot express. Because we live in a day and a time, and I believe that the Lord is soon to return. He's soon coming. And we're looking at times where we're seeing whole generations that are prepared for what the Bible declares as being the time of the fullness of the times of the Gentiles. And when colossal and catastrophic things happen to mankind. And what we see is this increased rebellion against God, against all authority, and you can see it. It drips off of the families and the culture that we live in and the whole world that we live in. And so what we have to do is fight the good fight. And that means that we've got to learn biblical truth, hide it, put it in our hearts, and act accordingly, especially in these days and times. I was in so much trouble in 1972 when I came to this church. And there was a man here that in the height of the social and cultural revolution in the 60s was bold enough to tell me that I needed to submit myself to my parents and to those that were in authority over me. And it saved my life. That scriptural concept and principle saved me. It transformed everything. My dad died with a good relationship. I had a good relationship with him because I submitted to that scriptural truth. And some of you may be sitting in the pew this morning and your life, your world is in conflict. And you're angry, and I was angry, and I didn't like the way things were, and I didn't like the way they did things, and I just had a lot of things to fight about, and I had a constant battle going on in my heart. Tommy Jenkins taught the word, simply taught the principle that you need to submit to authority. When I understood that, when I took hold of it, and began the process of learning to submit to the authority of my parents, my life changed. The warfare, the battle that was going on in my soul, the constant anger and turmoil began to cease. And so I'm telling you this morning, if you've got warfare in your heart, the first place that you want to go, the first thing that you want to look at, and the first question that you want to ask yourself am I in rebellion to God-established authority in my life? Because if you're having that turmoil, it's most likely the first place to look and the first problem to be addressed with God's Word. I can remember speaking with a young man in the singles group there when I met Lori, and he was telling me a story, and he had been at College Station, and he had trouble there, and then he'd gone down to as a missionary to Central America, and he was there, and you could tell he was angry. And I said, "You know what your problem is? You have a problem with authority." And he did that. But that was what the deal was. I mean, he had had conflict in every story as he was telling me where he had been and what he had done. In every place he'd had conflict with those that were in authority over him. I said, until you get that right, you're never going to have any peace. And I don't think he liked it very much, but I told him the truth. And sometimes we just need to look at the stark realities of that truth and deal with it before the Lord. And then there's freedom. What it causes, and the reason that God has established authority and their submission is a biblical principle and necessary for God's people is because it's healthy for us, because it brings peace to our life, because it puts aside the turmoil. And I know that there are different situations where, and I hope that we have some time to get into some of the different kinds of problems and difficulties that you have in submission. But the principle is that you're to humble yourself and to submit under the authority that God has established. Submission is essential for the filling or the control of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me? It's scriptural. I mean, look here. It's talking in context of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you want to be angry, if you want to be in rebellion against authority, you're going to have a very difficult time being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? You know, I need to say that again. You're going to have a real struggle being controlled by God's Holy Spirit, being filled by the Holy Spirit, if you are in rebellion to authority. Uh-oh. There's some rebellion to authority right there. Okay. So submission is essential for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Number five. The opposite of submission is rebellion. Okay, the nature of that puts it right at the heart of the fall, puts it right at the heart of what sin is all about. The opposite of submission is rebellion. So that tells us this is a key concept. It's necessary. The idea of putting oneself under someone is just the opposite of pride or putting yourself above something or someone. Okay? I've seen that this type of thing, even among believers. I had one comment one time where it was said, "Oh, ha ha, I just have a little rebellious streak in me. You know, I'm going, okay, you know, that's not that great. And I know it's true, and it's true of all of us. And I can understand the lightheartedness aspect of it, but we do need to understand, you know, like 1 Samuel 15, verse 23 says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's serious. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff. So we can take certain things in our struggle in the Christian life a little bit lightheartedly, but rebellion is not one of them. You know, and so if you got a lighthearted approach to rebellion, remember that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And it also says there, insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Right? Serious. Serious stuff. So if you got a little streak of rebellion, don't chuckle about it. Start thinking about what you need to do in order to deal with that little bit of streak of rebellion, because it's serious business. Rebellion is serious stuff. So, submit yourself to one another. These are some principles there out of verse 21. Let's look at verse 22, because it begins to break down into specifics here that wives are to submit to their husbands. It says, wives, be subject. And this verse may, in some manuscripts, the verb there was taken out. Which basically would mean the same. You would borrow from the participle that's above, where you're subjecting yourself or submitting yourself to one another. So wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Okay? So wives are submit their husbands. Galatians 3:28, it says there's neither male nor female, bond or free, and there's a teaching in Scripture that says we're equal. Okay, so whatever Paul's concept of submission and to authority, it doesn't have to do with equality. What he taught in Galatians fits here. Equality and roles, submission, are two different things. The woman is not inferior to the man. Okay? Wives are to submit themselves to their husband. Has nothing to do with equality. It has to do with role. Okay? Not equality, but role. There's a role. I tried to explain this to one man one time. He was having trouble. He was having trouble with our church because we taught this principle. And a lot of our culture has trouble with what we teach. When we teach it right out of the Bible, just this is what Scripture says, they're going to have trouble with it. And I tried to explain it. I said, look, you do this work. And he was actually at the time working in South America. And you're paid a lot of money to go down there, and you got a lot of workers, and when you come on that site, there's a certain role that you have, and you tell certain men to do certain things, and they do those certain things because that's part of the job and part of the role that you play. God designed that for family as well. It's not a matter of equality. It's not that you're better than those men that you're working with down there. You have a certain role, a certain place, an authority that may involve saying, you go here and do this, and you go here and do this, and there's organized, and there's order, and that's the way God designed it and created it. You see? Such a simple thing. I don't know why people have so much trouble with it. But our culture just goes livid when you start talking about wives, submit. I mean, the feminists have just made hay of the Apostle Paul's teaching. They hate him. And culturally, there's such an aversion to this principle and truth from God's Word, but it's a simple and a very clear thing to see, the sense of it, that with the family, as with other things, roles have to be established, and Paul's establishing them here. He says it's not equality, but role. All right. Secondly, the word obey could have been used here. In fact, you go down to children with parents and slaves with masters, the word obey, hupakuo, is used instead of the word for submission here. Okay? So we say, well, why didn't he use obey? Wives, obey your husbands. I don't know. But it seems like that submission is, it's a synonymous term, and it is a more relational term with the man. And when you look at 1 Peter, it says that Sarah submitted to her husband Abraham, and that she obeyed and called him Lord. That's what the passage says, that she obeyed her husband. So the illustration of her submission was that she was obedient to Abraham, that she obeyed him. So the concept of obedience is within the term submission. So there is some obedience there, or obeying in light of the role that the husband has. And I'm going to get on you next week in this passage, because God deals, the Apostle Paul teaches pretty seriously what it means to have that role and authority, and it's a huge responsibility. If you're gloating, you won't next week. Okay? 1 Peter 3:6 is where Sarah's submission was illustrated by her obeying Abraham. 1 Corinthians 7:4 speaks of equality between the man and the woman in the conjugal relationship. It says that the man's body is not his own, but the woman has authority over her husband's body. And so there's that principle that the Apostle Paul teaches, still equality, still authority that in their relationship that the woman has. It says the man has authority over the woman's body in marriage, and the woman has authority over the man's body in marriage, designed by God for his purposes. Okay? And there's equality there, clearly, from these passages. So Paul's not speaking about equality. It's not a matter of equal rights or such things. Submission to the husbands, and this is not women to men in general. Let me state that again. I'm going to make sure that you men understand that. The women don't have to submit to you. You know, the principle that's taught here is that wives submit your husbands. Okay? That doesn't mean that some man can walk in the church and start telling some other man's wife what she needs to be doing. Okay? That's not what Paul's saying. And so make sure that you understand that. This is not a men-women issue. It's a husband and wife issue that's being spoken of. Again, there are lines of authority in any place, in a local church, in government institutions, and there's submission to one another. There's submission under those lines of authority, but in general, there's nowhere in Scripture that says women are to submit to men. It says wives are to submit to husbands. Okay? Alright, so then let's look at the second part here. There's three qualifications that are given in light of wives submitting to husbands. One is basically, if we were to ask the question, well, you know, if you were to say, ask the question that Apostle Paul's thinking through this, and as he's writing, he's saying, well, what are they going to ask? What do they need to know? And the first question would be, well, how does the wife submit? And that's what that second little phrase there in verse 22 is talking about. The wives are to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. Okay? The idea there in 21 in the fear of Christ is in submission unto his sovereign authority, right? Okay, here it says, as to the Lord. Now, what does that mean? In one way, it is they're to submit to their husbands in the same way you submit to the Lord. Okay, there's a submission that involves obedience there, as it spoke of. So in spiritual matters and leadership of the home and guidance of the home, Paul is saying for the sake of order, there's an established role, and that the wife should submit to the husband in light of that. So how do you do it? As you would to the Lord. The Lord says, the Lord commands that we are to be filled with the Spirit, so we be filled with the Spirit. By faith, we step out and we do what we can to be filled with the Spirit. And so carry the same thing over. The husband says, well, we need to work toward this goal, and 10 years we'll be here. So let's go, family. And the family gets together. They get together. There's unity there. And there's direction and focus that's taken up. So how do the wives submit? They submit in the same way they submit to the Lord. Husbands' authority is under, not over the Lord's. Acts chapter 4, verses 17 through 20, we find that the apostles, when they were told by the Jewish authority to quit speaking the gospel, what did they do? They said, it's better to obey God than men. So the authority that was recognized authority in their day did not transcend God's authority. As apostles, they had been sent to speak the message, and so they spoke the message and endured the repercussions of breaking that line of authority joyfully. So they walked out, they had been beaten, and what does the scripture say? It says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. But they stood in the authority of the Lord over the authority of the Jewish leadership of the temple of that day. And there are times when wives, the authority of God's word and the lines that are drawn there is when it's disobedience to what God has commanded you to do. We'll talk some more about some of those kind of principles later. Number three, to submit to God-given lines of authority is to submit to the Lord. That's the idea, as to the Lord. If you submit to the Lord, you're submitting to those God-given lines, you're acknowledging that He's Lord, right? He's God. So not only when it says, as to the Lord, there's a same way or the same manner, but it also has this idea of submitting as to the Lord in the fear of Christ, acknowledging that He's sovereign, acknowledging that He established these lines. We find that where's our passage? Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. We find that principle there. You can write it down. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So what does that mean? Authorities that are established have been established in the sovereignty of God, even in a fallen world. And so it means that we submit under those authorities. When we do that, we're acknowledging that God is God. He's Lord. And so that's what it means when we're saying, as to the Lord, we're submitting in that area, and the acknowledgement that God has established this authority, so I will submit under this governing authority. I will submit under my husband because I'm submitting to the Lord. You see, the point is that it's to the Lord. The point is that it's in the fear of Christ. And I wanted to talk some about the fear of Christ. I kind of skipped that, but the fear of Christ is an interesting term. It's not simply respect or reverence. The fear of Christ is a pretty serious type of term, and I think it fits with submission, because the idea there is there's an acknowledgement of authority and power. And like in the situation with the apostles at the temple, there was an acknowledgement that these people, they had reason to fear them because they had the power to beat them. And they had the power to even kill them, and they did, some of the apostles. They killed them. They had the authority and were able to do that. And so that fear was an acknowledgement or respect for that power or authority that they had. It's the same thing that we do with Christ. We acknowledge that God's authority is over theirs. When we come into conflict and persecution because of conflict with authority, when it becomes necessary for obedience to a higher authority, then we understand that issue of fear. But we have a greater fear of what it means to disobey God than men, right? Okay, so how do wives submit? Finally, unity. The idea that unity is essential and eternal success is mutual. Don't tear down your husbands, wives. If you do, the eternal aspects of the benefit that God intends for the unit that He has sovereignly planned and ordained is a very tragic and thing, because There's an eternal loss from it. Don't tear down the authority that God has established. That means that you got to walk wisely, right? You got to know the will of the Lord. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you're in submission. And those times when you do have to say, no, this is what God's Word said, and I have to obey God rather than you, then you need to make sure you're on track there and you're not simply tearing away at the authority that God has established over you. Okay? So we answered the question of how wives submit, and, man, I tell you what, I'm going to stop, because next time we'll come back and we'll look at why wives submit. I'm over time at this point, and we're going to look at the concept of headship. And headship is important. It's important enough that if we have to extend the amount of time we spend in Ephesians, then we'll just do it. But we want to talk about the headship of the man over the woman, and it'll flow well into the teaching of husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church, and what it means, what headship means. But we'll come back to that next time, and hopefully some of these things are beneficial to you. I want to say just a couple of things, ladies, and some of these points may not make as much sense as when we cover these last two verses next time, but some concluding applications for you. Number one, decide if it is not sin against God and make the determination that I will always submit and obey in everything. Because if you look in verse 24, it says to obey your husbands in everything. It's not sin against God, obey. Okay? That's pretty cut and dried and clear. Dad or other family members never trump the husband's authority in the Christian home. You got to break. You leave and you cleave. Okay? So don't go back to dad or other family and trump your husband's authority or undermine it in any way. And then thirdly, do not undermine your husband's authority in the home by siding with manipulative or rebellious children. Okay? Okay, we'll come back to that. But those are some practical applications in light of this truth that you might want to think about in terms of applying to your home. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. It is alive and powerful. It discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's needful for us as your people. And Lord, we are very grateful for your provision and for that. The Word of God is given by inspiration, your inspiration. It's profitable for doctrine or for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And we would desire to be furnished today, Lord, to serve and walk before you in the name of Jesus Christ and for His glory. And we thank you for the truths of your Word and the importance that it is today for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.